Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. These sports animals, VFL QB, is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Taking you all the way to noon today on the Eric Ainge Show. Appreciate you tuning in, no matter where you're listening, streaming us, listening live in the Tri-Cities, or right here in Knoxville, the surrounding counties, or again online, iHeartRadio, or through our Sports Animal app anywhere around the world. Thank you for listening to the Eric Ainge Show. Brian Rice, myself, EA. It's an axe throw Thursday here, and they're back open, is it not?
It is. It's time to play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, and that's presented by the Smoky Mountain Axe House. smaxes.com. You can book online and check out everything they have to offer in the Midland Plaza in Alcoa, the best axe throw place in East Tennessee, and it's not even close. Smoky Mountain Axe House, smaxes.com, as seen on The Bachelor.
And the University of Tennessee tight end group last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. They all came out and had some fun too.
Original three states today: Florida, Alabama, or Georgia.
All right, we're in my wheelhouse. I got to do well.
We're in an all listener submission chunk today. Our buddy Peter O'Neill provides many of these for us as we go through, but a couple other reader submissions or listener submissions today as well. All right, number one: donuts used to trap and relocate bear roaming neighborhood. Donuts used to trap and relocate bear roaming neighborhood. Did this happen in Florida, Alabama, or Georgia?
I mean, a good donut will attract anybody from anywhere to that donut. So I'm
into that.
We don't have a brand of donut, do we? It's just local donut.
It
just
does
donut.
Not say. Yeah.
Okay. You know, when I think bears, I think Bama. And when I think Bammers, I think donuts. So I'm going to go Alabama.
Caner?
I mean, there's some wooded areas in all three of these states. That's kind of where I was going when I thought of bears as well. So let's go Alabama.
You know, Alabama's a smart play because, shout out to our local guys at Pop's Donuts here, the best donuts in the world are at a place called Babe's in downtown Tuscaloosa. But this is in Fort Myers, Florida.
I was just there.
WTSP reported officers with the Florida Wildlife Commission spent hours last Tuesday trying to capture the elusive bear that was seen on home security cameras around Fort Myers. Officer Adam Brown said they used donuts because they couldn't use tranquilizer. Quote, "Oftentimes when we use a tranquilizer gun, the bear will not have an immediate effect. Sometimes they'll run away. We didn't want to take any chance of it running into traffic or in another residential area. So they lured it with donuts, and he took a nap as he was being relocated."
Nothing like a spiked donut to catch a bear. It's just a Tuesday in Fort Myers.
That's right. All right, Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. Turtle crashes through windshield on freeway. Turtle crashes through windshield on freeway.
Was drama driving?
I like that. Way to go.
It Entourage does not get enough credit these days.
Not these days. It did during its prime. I mean, it's probably one of the best TV series of all time.
I binged it in college. Man.
So good.
Man, was it awesome. By the way, they're about to make an Ari Gold spinoff, or they're trying to. That's what I heard. But anyway.
They should. He's the best character in that thing.
Yeah. Can you give us some how did this even happen?
A woman has a warning for drivers after a reptile came hurtling through her windshield on the parkway earlier this month. Beware, ex-city of flying turtles.
I don't know. Florida's my guess. I mean, Eric, what do you think?
I don't know. There's turtles in all these states. Do we go?
That's fair. True.
Do we go? Is there a crazy turtle population? I don't know. Is there a green ooze in the sewer system?
Did the turtle get lodged at the windshield? I'm so intrigued.
Reptiles that bother me would be a Florida problem. But I don't know that Brian's going to do a back-to-backers. But I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go Florida. See, I'm going to take the easy one. Reptiles, Florida.
I think he will go back-to-back because he likes to play mind games.
So you're saying Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Savannah, Georgia.
Oh.
Lanoa Lark posted, Mr. Turtle was found at fault, but he did not have insurance. He got escorted to a wildlife reserve. I got stuck with the bill. So beware, Savannah, of flying turtles on the Truman Parkway. According to WSAV-TV, the incident happened on May 12th as Lark was driving with her brother. Suddenly, Lark spotted what she thought was a brick in the air headed straight for her vehicle. Seconds later, something crashed through the right side of her windshield, inches away from her brother. They say
that'd be such a terrible way to die, a turtle shell to the face on the freeway.
Final destination, reptile. Lark and Grant said a car ahead of them appeared to have struck the reptile, sending it airborne in their direction.
Classic Savannah.
Classic. All right, last one. Florida, Alabama, or Georgia? Man puts $33,000 of collectible coins into Coinstar machine. Man puts $33,000 worth of collectible coins.
Do we know what he actually got? Do we know what he actually got?
It does not give an exact number, but it says about enough to buy a case of beer.
Oh, gosh. Those were some impressive coins. I'm not a coin collector, but like, I like
money.
Sorry,
you got $29.30.
It's a lot of effort for just one case of beer.
For 33, how many cases of beer this Alabama resident could have bought for $33,000? I mean, yikes.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll go there as well.
This is actually a song frequents his 8-track player.
That North Palm
banjo.
Beach, Florida.
He's an Alabama resident.
Shane Anthony Mealy, M-E-L-E. Took $33,000 worth of collectible commemorative presidential dollars.
Oh, gosh.
And put it down into a Coinstar machine where he received just the face value of the coins, $29.30.
Look, that's a little 0-for-3 day.
Like, if I found that out, I would at least take a few of them back to him and be like, hey, man, here's $1,000. Like, I'm sorry that you're as dumb as you are. It's not your fault. You know, I'd goodwill hunting him. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Authorities say Mealy, age 40, of Riviera Beach, confessed that he stole rare coins and other items valued at a total of $350,000.
Then he's not getting any back.
No, from the office of Michael Johnson back in December.
Johnson old Mike, said, haven't seen him in years.
Yeah. So, yeah. Quote, there's no insurance that covers this kind of thing, not the losses we're talking about. It amounted to his life savings.
Oh.
He was charged with grand theft of more than $100,000, though he only got a total of $29.30 for it.
Well, hopefully he enjoyed that case of beer, because he's going to be playing poker for cigarettes now.
Not great. That's how you play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia. It's presented by the Smoky Mountain Axe House. It is an axe throw Thursday. Make your reservations. They're taking all the safety precautions. You get your own lane with your own axe coach. You can reserve online, smaxes.com. Make sure that you have an available spot. This capacity is reduced just a little bit due to social distancing. Alcoa, Midland Plaza, Smoky Mountain Axe House.
Such a fun thing to do with your family, man.
Absolutely. The Eric Gaines Show welcomes former Vol Josh McNeil to the program next.
It's on Saturdays, and this Saturday is the 2006 Georgia game. Give me the first thing, Josh McNeil, it's your second start, Tennessee-Georgia in Athens, 2006. What do you remember?
Yeah, I just remember it. Probably the craziest game I ever played in. I mean, it was my second start. My first start was at Memphis, and you know, going from the Liberty Bowl to between the hedges, it's not even a comparable experience, especially being on the road. I think they scored a couple of touchdowns. We were down early, and we came back and won. And it's still to this day probably the funnest game I've played in as a player, for sure. The atmosphere was crazy. It was a night game. You were on fire. We were down early, came all the way back. A lot of big plays in that game. It was a lot of fun all the way around.
So I'll give you one of my favorite. I have a lot of fun Josh McNeil stories. Would it be safe to say, Josh, that you played as an undersized offensive lineman in the Southeastern Conference?
Yes, I would say it would be very safe to say that, yeah.
But it was one of your best attributes. It was always fun, too. And so, like, it was kind of like whenever I would scramble and someone wouldn't catch me, I'd be the first person to turn and be like, wow, dude, you did. That's on film. You not catching me right there is on. That's on film. Hey, you guys see that? Like, I remember we're playing Georgia. I forget what quarter it was, but I think it was LaMarcus Coker gashed him on one. And you took a guy that probably weighed, by that point in the season, what you'd normally weigh? You'd be what, like 300 to start the year? And you probably, what, like 270 by then?
Yeah, if it was a good day, yeah.
A good
probably
day?
270 at best, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So,
and most
so
of the guys were 350, 360, yeah.
So this guy was probably at least 330, 340 on the defensive line for Georgia, and you just crushed him. And I'll never forget, I hand the ball off, and I got reamed for not making a good play fake because I was watching you lay on top of him, and all I could hear was you laughing hysterically, like just like dying laughing. I was like, man, what's so funny? And then I hear you on top of the guy going, ha ha, you weigh 80 pounds more than me. This is you're terrible. Ha! And you were just taking his soul, trash talking. It was one of my favorite moments of the game.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like me. It sounds a lot like the way I played. I mean, you know, I may have been undersized, but my goal was to get on you before you got on me and just keep going. And, you know, it ended up in a lot of pancakes. That was a fun time for sure.
Josh, who was the best – and you don't have to answer present company just because it's his show, but who was the best player that you played with when you were at Tennessee?
Man, I kind of went through the ringer. You know, early on we had Glenn Dorsey at LSU was a very, you know, high profile. I think he was number three pick. It just him and that entire defensive line was pretty good. That Georgia game he's talking about, they had a very young Geno Atkins who went on to play in the league for a long, long time. The guys from Cal were pretty tough too. That, you know, they may not be, you know, highly remembered, but Brandon Mebane,
that's right. I know that's him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just short, stumpy, strong. Then they had that other big Hawaiian guy. So it's pretty hard to pick out one guy in particular that was just really, really good. Obviously Glenn Dorsey was probably drafted the highest of all those. But, when you play in the SEC, you kind of have the fortune of you got to bring it every week. There is no let off week.
It doesn't matter who you play. But the SEC, especially from a defensive line standpoint, man, I mean, I remember playing – Mississippi State, Georgia was always one of those teams that always had big, strong, fast, athletic defensive linemen. And, you know, in that game, we did a good job of using our athleticism up front, too, to get out. We hit a lot of screen passes, did a lot of quick passing, did a lot of play action stuff. Are there any plays you remember specifically from the game, like that we ran or anything like that? It's funny. People always, you know, forget how, you know, it can be 10 years later and you'll still remember something that happened in the football
game.
Yeah,
like I said, I mean, it was a wild game. And a lot of that was just because kind of what was going on in the huddle. As I said, I mean, we were getting beat pretty bad early on. And you weren't a real big rah-rah guy. You definitely, I mean, you were one of the best to do it. You exuded a lot of confidence. But particularly that game, it's like I remember one play, we got a turnover, I think, and then we came back in the huddle. And you just said, look, if you can hold on long enough, it was like a Rambo six slant. Deep pass, you're like, if you hold him long enough, this is a 40-yard touchdown, 50-yard touchdown, and that's just something that you really rarely did. And man, you called it. You were right. It was a touchdown. I mean, it looked beautiful, and it was just fun to be a part of. Just as watching as you got in the huddle, it's just like, all right, if you guys can just do your job long enough, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take it to the house. That was a very.
I remember you're hyping me up a little bit. It was it wasn't 40 or 50, but it was a deep. It was a ball down the middle, probably like a 30-yard pass to Brett Smith. It was a Rambo six slant. They did it. They had I forget his first name. Jackson, I think, was his a linebacker, fast flow, super athletic NFL guy. And we knew if we could hold them in play action, their nickel was real soft. So if you go back and watch that game, Brett Smith catches a touchdown down the middle. It just barely misses the goalpost. Good for him, or he'd probably have some Angie issues. But he kind of dives right there. Their safeties would get real wide in cover two. And so we ran that quick little play fake, held the linebacker. Brett got a free release down the middle, and he ended up catching a touchdown. We were down 24-14 at half, came back. To outscore them 37-9 in the second half for a 51-33 victory.
Yeah, 51-33. I remember it was a big swing in the second half. I mean, like, we blocked a punt. We had some turnovers. We had some really big plays on offense. I mean, we just caught fire, and it was like a completely different game between the first and the second half. Like I said, that was my first SEC start. So I was you know, taking it all in, and you know, all the emotions, and just, you know, going into halftime and, you know, going into halftime losing, that's never a fun experience, especially under Coach Fulmer, especially with all the mistakes we were making. And just, you could just kind of just feel it that, you know, we were losing, but we weren't losing because we were beating ourselves at that point. Mm-hmm. And we came out in the second half and we showed what we were about. So it was a lot of fun.
You know, one of the plays that happened early in that second half, and I don't know what you remember from it, but it seems to be a topic of conversation. Any of us, anytime I talk to you or Big Ant or Ramon or any of the guys, Arian, I scored a rushing touchdown in this football game. It was the lone TD. It was indeed a 1 yard quarterback sneak behind one Josh McNeil. And I'll never forget. There's no audio of it. It can't be proven. I'm going to say I wasn't saying it, but you guys always give me crap and say that I was in the end zone, laying there holding the ball like a kid opening his first Christmas present, yelling, "Did I score? Did I score? Did I score?" And you guys were all laughing at me like, "Oh my, you're embarrassing us." Yes. Yes, Ainge, you did indeed score a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Did that happen? Did that really happen?
Well, you know, from all the quarterback sneaks we did, especially that year and the next year, it's like when you're in the middle, you really can't tell where you are, what's going on. I mean, you're just in a big pile of bodies and everybody's around. So, but yeah, I do remember that play. We were very successful in our attempts on third and even on fourth down. It's like Coach Cutcliffe had enough confidence in us to get the job done. And that was a very fun experience just because, like you said, that wasn't a, you know, an everyday thing to get you a touchdown, you know, on the road, running the ball, quarterback sneak, you know, you had no idea if you scored or not. I'm just like, man, I hope you did because I don't want to do this again.
Yeah. Why are you asking me? I'm under four guys that weigh a collective 900 pounds. I can't tell if you scored.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Josh, I probably had my eyes shut and everything. Did I score?
That's how he does the radio show, too, every day. Josh, you guys went from a 2016 with – all those receivers and all that production to the next year having to replace a lot of it at receiver. But you guys as a line helped Eric set a record for keeping his jersey clean. What was the mentality going into that season? Did you know that you were going to have to step up knowing they were replacing the receivers? Or was it something else that led to that success?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things. I think, you know, a lot of guys, they never talk about the system that they're in. And I think going into that year, it was like we realized we had some undersized receivers that could all catch. You know, Coach Cutcliffe, we went to a no-huddle offense. It was very rare, I would say, during that whole season where, you know, we had to pass protect very long. It was like we ran a 5-wide, 4-wide, no-huddle system. Eric knew he was going to go with the ball. We had some very good players, and certainly we took a lot of pride in him not getting hit. Because we knew if we could just keep them off of him, you know, give him enough time to do what he does, that it was going to be a good day, and it usually was. But, you know, for the most part, I would say the no huddle, the type of system, always calling good plays at the line of scrimmage and making sure you're not going into bad looks. I mean, that all is a factor when it comes to that number.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that helped all of that was in that off season going into that year, because of the things we were going to be lacking, our self-scout told us we play behind the sticks too often. And if we could stay ahead of the sticks, and we could, then we have obviously a much better chance to do all these things and call the right plays and do it at the line. And right, wrong, or indifferent, there was rarely a play ever that year. We threw the ball over 500 times where all 11 guys on the field didn't know exactly what was going to happen, where the play was going, who was protected. We always knew. It didn't mean you made every block, but I'll bet there's not a snap out there where Josh and the guys up front didn't know, hey, you three have those three. You two, big on big over this side. Running back, you're this guy to that guy. I mean, we were all on the same page on every single snap offensively. So there was nothing that defense could do to confuse us. So it came down to, all right, well, you three have those three. Do your three block those three? And of course, there's plays where guys miss blocks and that kind of stuff. But if that's all you're anticipating, then you can throw the ball away. You can scramble. You know, you can stay ahead of the sticks. It was just a conscious approach. It was probably one of the best. I've heard Cut talk about it publicly. It's probably, in his opinion, his best coaching job of his entire career was what he did with Josh, myself. You know, because that's where a lot of the communication goes. It's from the center to the quarterback and then hand signal into the running backs and all those guys. It took a lot of intelligent guys and a lot of good coaching, but that's a record that'll never be touched.
I can still remember to this day. It's like, you know, we ran the no huddle offense, and it's like you had Florida, you had Texas, you had Hawaii, you had all these different protections that you would, you know, 5, 6, 7 man protections. And then you're exactly right. It's like, you know, for us, somebody would have to completely whiff because we were always in a very good position. And that, you know, that did happen, but it rarely happened. And I think it's exactly like you said. I mean, every play that we went into, we made sure that from an offense, you know, whether it was 4-on-3 or 1-on-1, we were always, you know, at an advantage, or we made sure that we weren't in a disadvantage. We never ran bad plays. You had guys like Lucas, you had guys like Austin. I mean, you know, they could all catch. Hancock, it was like they could all catch. It was like everyone. That offense was pretty cool in particular, just because, you know, there wasn't a Meacham or a Brett Smith or a Swain. It was just like everybody had a job to do and everybody did it pretty well. And we ended up being, you know, one of the best offenses in SEC that year, which is pretty cool.
You know, the 2006 Tennessee-Georgia game that's going to be coming up here pretty soon to listen to, Vol Radio Network Classic. If you want to know what really won the football game, because I don't think I made you do it against Memphis, because I'm pretty sure that game, I'm pretty sure we were already whipping them. But I'm pretty sure the Georgia game was the first time that you experienced the bougie quarterback, Angie, saying, Josh, you got to change your pants, dude.
So
Josh McNeil and I were like best friends in college. Like, think about him all the time, still to this day, good friends. Like, from that time through the rest of our time playing together, I don't know that I ever got looked at more cockeyed and cross-eyed and like, man, I know I can't hit this guy, but man, I want to. When we'd get into halftime and then I'd walk over to Josh and he'd see me come and he'd be like, no, not today. Not today. I got an ankle swollen. I got this. I'm not retaping all this. And I'd be like, dude, you got to change your pants.
Was that the worst ever
looking back on it? Like making you change pants at halftime?
Well, because we had like 20 minutes. And I mean, we had knee braces and ankles taped up. And I mean, it's like, you know, I barely get a minute to sit down and coach is in my ear. And it's like, man, you got to change your pants. I'm like, this is going to last for like 2 plays of the first series. And then it's going to be exactly the second. But, yeah, oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, even though I was undersized, I do remember, you know, I'm a Mississippi boy. I sweat a lot. And, I mean, from warm-ups on, it would just be like raining, you know.
He talks about that.
Pretty much
I've talked about it before.
Game.
I've talked. We don't need to do that right now. We don't need to do that right now.
He talks about it all the time, Josh. He really does. I can't let you go without asking about perhaps the most famous photo of your playing career. And that was you tying together the shoestrings of a Florida player in 2008. Can you tell me the story behind that photo?
Yeah, sure. And that was the funniest thing about the photo to me is just out of all the stuff I've done, said, you know, just in piles. And, you know, I really prided myself on being an aggressive player. I mean, it was just, we were getting beat. I think the player was Carlos Dunlap, who played forever in the NFL. And I was just sitting in a pile with a bunch of people on top of me. And at that moment, his shoe was just right there. And I was like, you know, hey, I bet this guy won't have a stance as fast, you know, if his shoes are untied. And so for whatever reason, I decided to untie his shoe while I was sitting there and couldn't move. And the guy got a picture of it. And it's just funny to me, you know, all the stuff, you know, and just all the crap talk and just different things over the course of a career. That was like the one thing that got honed in on at that one time. That's funny to me.
Hey, just take it. Take it. Of all the things that you did, Josh, if that's the one people remember, then let it happen. Walk away, backflip, and take it to the house.
It's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'll take my fame where I can get it.
There you go. I think Antonio Wardlow got on Sports Illustrated for blocking and recovering a punt in the Georgia game.
I remember that
too. Yeah,
I remember stuff, that man. Cover. Yep.
Good stuff. Well, I've never listened to the broadcast, so I can't wait to sit here and listen to it.
Yeah, it's fun. A lot of fun.
Josh, we appreciate you giving us your time this morning. Before we let you get back to work, what are you doing now, and how are you getting along now as this many years removed from your football career?
Well, life is good. I'm still in the state of Tennessee. Haven't left since I went to school there. I live in the Memphis area. Less than a year out from getting married, just working. You know, my life is good. I can't complain, that's for sure. I'm very blessed. And, you know, I know Eric's doing well, and it's always good to see old guys, you know, doing well. And, definitely doing well. And just, I'm in sales now, doing energy projects, LED lighting, HVAC. I've been doing that for several years. And it's, you know, it's paid off pretty well.
Let me know next time you're in East Tennessee, brother.
I will, man. Will do. Good to hear from you.
Josh, thanks so much for giving us your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
See you, dude.
And that is VFL Josh McNeil, who, Eric, you guys had a long and illustrious relationship, quarterback center over 2006-2007 seasons.
Absolutely, man. It's good to catch up with him. Can't wait to listen to the broadcast. I've never heard, I mean, when you're playing in it, you don't hear it.
Should be a lot of fun.
It should be fun.
Coming up Saturday on the Sports Animal here in Knoxville, on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, as well as utsports.com for the Vol Network broadcast. We'll come back here on the Eric Ainge Show.
The great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
Wednesday night's NASCAR Cup Series race in Charlotte was postponed due to rain. It'll be made up tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern, but due to the postponement, Saturday's Xfinity Series race in Bristol has been moved again from Saturday to Monday night, a day after the NASCAR Cup Series will be racing at the Great Coliseum. Tonight's race in Charlotte will see Hendrick Motorsport teammates William Byron and Alex Bowman start from the pole again. It'll be tonight in Charlotte, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Gate City, Virginia native and former Georgetown guard Mac McClung announced he's transferring to Texas Tech. And for the second time during this coronavirus pandemic, the NCAA Division I Council voted to extend the college recruiting dead period, this time through July 31st. So what that means is programs can hold or can't hold in-person, on- or off-campus recruiting meetings or visits with prospects. With your Midday Sports Minutes, I'm Eric Kane.
Mates and want to remain friends.
Yeah,
that's how it ought to be, though, right? I mean, that's what everyone watching expects. I mean, that's how it is. It's listen, Josh was fun because I don't know what his brand is with Tennessee fans. I don't know what people remember about Josh or what, but I'll tell you, Josh had no cartilage in his knees when he got to college. He was 30 to 80 pounds undersized against everybody he blocked. And I don't think there's a single player, and I might be able to put myself up there with him, but that gave more physically to be on the field, no matter what, to play and put the power tee on and what it meant. You know, like he, like if you ever wondering, I wonder how much playing for Tennessee meant to so and so. Well, with me, hopefully people listening, they know by now that that's where I stand on that. But Josh is right. He was right there. I mean, there were times that kid couldn't walk, and you put the, you get, by the time you got to Saturday, it didn't matter how he felt. He was going to be out there giving literally every ounce that he had to play Tennessee football.
And we'll get to this Saturday on the Sports Animal. We'll have that Vol Network Classic. And, again, you can listen to it online as well, 991thesportsanimal.com, or on our app as well. We'll have that stream. Bob Kessling, Tim Priest will have that one for you from Sanford Stadium in Georgia. It was one of two times that you went to Georgia and defeated the Bulldogs after doing it as a true freshman in huge upset fashion in 2004.
Yeah, they were. I think they were ranked number 3 when we beat them in 2004, and then they were ranked number 10 when we beat them in the game that we'll hear on, you know, coming up Saturday. They were ranked 10th. I think we were 13th.
It was, and that was.
That'd be nice to see Tennessee play with a number 13 next to it. I'd take it.
Yeah, if Tennessee's ranked 13th going to Georgia this year, I think we will all sign up for that right now.
Yeah, then you definitely take it, because at that point you're in November.
Yeah, sign us up right now.
Yeah.
I will sign us up for a final segment of the Eric Haines Show. We find out what we learned today next.
Feel better. RegenComplete.com.
I learned this late last night, so not on today's show, but congratulations to a couple of VFLs, Juwan James and the former Rainey Gaffin, now Rainey James, welcomed their first son into the world last week on May 22nd, so congratulations to Juwan and Rainey on their new addition. They kept it secret from all of us until the baby was born, which I think is pretty cool.
So what... what class would that baby be, that boy be? Because I'm fully expecting him to play a sport here at UT.
My first comment to them before congratulations was scholarship offered.
Oh, yeah. That's if you take two high-profile Vols in big-time sports and they decide to procreate, it's a birth on the certificate. It should have a little hashtag VFL scholarship offered.
Yes. Sport of your choice, kids. Sport of your choice.
You got to pick one. You got to pick one.
You're coming to Tennessee.
That's right.
So
that's
congratulations
fun.
To them.
I learned, and we can talk about it more at length tomorrow, but Trey Smith is on everyone's board for first-round draft pick, the number one guard on the hot board list.
Yeah, Todd McShay has him as the only guard listed as a potential first-round pick with his list that came out from ESPN.com earlier this week.
Yeah, Trey will be a first round. If he stays healthy and that doesn't dominate the storylines around him, and people are just watching him play football, people that just watch him play football all walk away that know football going, that's a first round draft pick interior lineman. Oh, and he's athletic enough to maybe even play right tackle for an NFL team with a right-handed quarterback. So there's that as well. I mean, teach the kid to snap. He reminds me, he's the best lineman I think we've had here since Aaron Sears, guy that I played with, a guy that'll get highlighted in the game. Aaron Sears was probably one of the best linemen I've ever seen, period. And Trey Smith is right there up there with him.
I learned that there are five Vols that are the best to ever wear their number in college football as rated by The Athletic. You know, Peyton and Reggie White were obvious, but adding Doug Atkins to that list, adding Steve Keier to that list, it really, really cool to see that level of respect for what some former Vols have done.
I wonder who the best number 37s were. Because Peerless is a top three receiver that's ever played here, had a long NFL career, just an overall awesome guy. Shout out to Peerless Price. Listens quite often from Atlanta, by the way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
I don't know who the number 37s would be.
The number 37s were, as I scroll down the list, let's see. Number 37s, Doak Walker from SMU is number 37.
Yeah.
There's a short list on here, and I think Peerless needs to be at the end of this one because there are only three other players that are listed.
Yeah, then for as many terrible tens that they listed, they to not have Peerless on there at 37 is a crime.
The honorable mentions were Tommy Casanova of LSU, Sean Alexander, Alabama, and Creighton Miller at Notre Dame.
Yeah, Peerless ought to be on that
Peerless
list.
Peerless should be on the list, yeah. No doubt.
For sure.
If for no reason other than the tomahawk chop throat slash after the national championship game.
Yeah.
Just inject video on that into my veins.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
We learned that the NCAA has extended the recruiting dead period through the end of the summer, basically, through the end of July. So teams will be in camps the next time that there's not a dead period, and it effectively pushes visits back for all sports until the start of football season.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I think that really benefits teams like Tennessee, Ohio State, even North Carolina, teams that already have really big full classes. I think this just helps those classes stick together.
Yeah, it and will continue to push those classes. And where it really hurts is in every sport that's not football, where there is an entire summer where sports where recruiting is based on what you do in the summer and not on what you do in high school have lost an entire year of exposure, camps, etc. So basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, track, soccer, all of those sports, volleyball, all of those sports end up with an entire off season of no recruiting. That's going to be difficult for them. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about where Jared Garantano ranked in Pro Football Focus's rankings of the quarterbacks in this coming back for this year. And as you mentioned, Derek, we'll talk about Trey Smith and where he landed on Todd McShay's list tomorrow.
Yeah, I went and ran some numbers too. I have some. There's a couple little stat things from JG's career the last 2 years, anyway, his main 2 years playing, that I think tell a story on what he really needs to improve on this coming season.
And tomorrow we'll actually be back out on the road, Eric. You'll be live from Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville. I'll be joining you from the home studio. So can't wait to get back out on the road.
Yeah,
it's gonna
give
be exciting.
Give me new normal, man. Please, thank
we
you.
We will see you tomorrow. Thanks, Kaner. This is the Eric Haines Show.
Kaner.